Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Drs. Ed Chu and Ken Miller. I'm Bruce Barber. Dr. Chu is Deputy Director and Chief of Medical Oncology at Yale Cancer Center and an internationally known expert on colorectal cancer. Dr. Miller is a medical oncologist and the director of the Connecticut Challenge Survivorship Clinic. He also specializes in pain and palliative care. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can email your questions directly to the doctors. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu, and you can leave a message by calling 1-888-234-4YCC. This evening, Dr. Chu and Dr. Miller will be talking about Chinese herbal medicine. They're joined by Tommy Cheng, the Henry Bronson Professor of Pharmacology at Yale School of Medicine, who also works closely with Dr. Chu.
Tommy, we're so pleased to have you join us for today's program.
Thank you.
The approach to treating patients is very, very different than our experience here in the United States, where we always focus on kind of the active ingredient, right? And typically for Chinese herbal medicine, it usually is a mixture of different herbs, spices, if you will.
Chinese medicine is more than just go after multiple target in a given tissue. Actually, it's going for the whole body with hope to reach the homeostasis among the different organs and then trying to improve the whole body function. So it is not necessarily go after the target, actually trying to improve the health of the individual with hope to conquer the disease.
Now, I want to actually pose a question to you because I know you collaborate on this. It's an very interesting concept Tommy just brought up about how medicine now we're sort of going after one target and yet perhaps that we should have another goal. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, what's interesting is, you know, I think with the whole Gleevec story for the treatment of chronic myelogenous leukemia, I think all the focus was, you know, one drug, one target. Mm-hmm. And this whole era of target therapy kind of was ushered in. I think as we're now beginning to understand how the cancer cell works, you know, those cancer cells are brilliant, and they can very quickly come up with different pathways that get turned on if you actually inhibit a pathway. And so I think now the view, even in Western medicine, is that probably a so-called multi-targeted approach that maybe hits different targets may in fact be better. So it's interesting that I think now the new Western approach in many ways is following what the so-called Eastern approach or, you know, Oriental, Chinese Oriental approach has been, as Tommy said, for, gosh, 4,000 or 5,000 years.
So here's a question for Tommy along those lines. I mean, if for a patient who lives in a village in China, and they had a problem, who would they see? And maybe you could tell us a little bit about sort of the holistic approach to care.
First of all, likelihood they're going to go for a Chinese doctors. Mm-hmm. But if they are mainstream medicine program going on, medical care going on in the neighborhood, they surely also will approach that. In most of the cases, they actually will use both.
And what's fascinating to me, and Tommy helped arrange this for me a number of years ago when I was visiting Taiwan, I actually went to visit one of the herbalists. Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating is the herbalist was actually in the farmer's market area. So, you know, the day-to-day life for individuals, they'd go to the meat market to get their meats, the fish market to get the fish, their veggies and fruits, mm-hmm. and then they'd stop off and see their herbalist, who would then, and Tommy can expand on this, they'd feel their pulse, look at their tongue, kind of feel the temperature of their skin, and then go up on the shelf and get various herbs, roots, extracts, and then either blend them or have a tea extraction. You know, Tommy, what's been your experience in that regard?
Yeah, and Eddie, you're correct. Actually, you should recognize the Chinese medicine is not only focused on treatment, but also for prevention, also to improve quality of life. Those are actually what we mainstream medicine trying to achieve, not only for treatment of med clinic needs, but also for prevention as well as quality of life.
I want to ask a little bit about, for example, if someone went to a herbalist and was given herbs, how many compounds, how many different things are really in a mixture like that? Not just sort of how many roots were added or herbs, but how many different chemicals and compounds?
Well, I think Tommy he's the pioneer in this whole field in trying to understand, right, the individual components.
I think as I mentioned before, it's evolved through thousands of years. And in the early, before 1900, we don't really have clear idea how to isolate compound. The herbs already evolved as a mixture for treatment of disease. So some of her maybe indeed is to the action is indeed relating to one compound. Mm-hmm. Some actually could be due to several compounds within it. The question is, what's the evidence to say one way or another? And this is one area we should try to figure it out. So at this juncture, we consider them all active until it's proven inactive.
But Tommy, your lab here at Yale has been studying this very fascinating Chinese herbal medicine called PHY906, and maybe we can get into that in a little bit. But just to get to Ken's question about, how many individual components within that herb, specific herb, PHY906.
And just taking that as example, it is a formula first described 1,700 years ago for treatment of diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, and fever. And even there's a claim for fatigue. But it consists of four herbs. So why four herbs, not one herb? That's already tell you have at least four ingredients to be biologically active. Otherwise, we just simply added one more herb, making one more herb more to substitute another. But evolutionary, this formula never says that, so already indicating four. If you do the analysis of each herb, actually you find there are hundreds of compounds. And many of those compounds actually relate to each other. So metabolically, they may all convert into the few species. And so the whether each thing, but through that metabolism, do they have any interaction among themselves? That's still an open question. So I think event with time, and it will be simplified. It won't be as complicated as you think. But at this juncture, let's prove it. It's active or not active. If it's active, then it's worthwhile to further explore for future medicine. To be developed as a future medicine to come. If it's inactive, then forget it, then we move on.
Let's focus a little bit on this fascinating drug that you've been working on, the PHY906. Is it of help to patients with cancer?
Yeah. The developmental therapeutics program is basically taking two-prong approach in developing treatment strategy. One is continuing looking for new compounds which have more selectivity against cancer or cancer tissues. Indeed, we have very good program going on that direction. As far as I know, there's no particular Chinese formula this juncture has that clear indication. The second approach we are taking is trying to decrease the side effects associated with the cancer chemotherapeutic drugs. This not only can improve the quality of life of patients under therapy as long as the strategy we are using do not compromise chemotherapeutic drug actions against the tumor tissues. And also it may help to increase the dosage of chemotherapeutic drug targeting on tumor tissues without sacrificing quality of the patient's life, with hope to get a better activity of chemotherapeutic drugs. It is for the second strategy, and I elected to explore. this particular herb, herbal medicine, herbal medicine formula, and with hope to decrease the side effects without compromised chemo.
Yeah, and in fact, actually, our group working closely with Tommy and his laboratory group have found that this herb, PHY906, can in fact reduce the GI side effects, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, associated with a very active drug that we use to treat colon cancer, and that drug is called irinotecan. And it really was actually quite striking, to the point where we had a study where patients on one treatment cycle receive irinotecan plus herb, and then the next cycle they received irinotecan plus placebo. And patients, the nurses, the fellows, and even those of us who were involved in the study could tell there was a clear difference mm-hmm. in the different treatment cycles. And then when we and the beauty of the study was it was a blinded study. And so the physician themselves really didn't know what the patients were receiving. And so then when we broke the code, we weren't surprised to see that those patients who were feeling better, had less side effects, actually received the Chinese herb. So we're actually now about to embark on the next generation of study looking at a different way to give irinotecan plus PHY906 in patients with colorectal cancer. And James Lee, myself, and Dr. Saif are involved.
Well, we're going to take a break. We'd like to remind you to email your questions, cancer answers@yale.edu. And we're going to, again, break for a medical minute. Please stay tuned to learn more about Chinese herbal medicine and cancer treatment with Professor Tommy Chang from the Yale School of Medicine.
Breast cancer is the second most common cancer in women. In Connecticut alone, approximately 3,000 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer this year. But there is new hope for these women. Earlier detection, non-invasive treatments, and novel therapies provide more options for patients to fight breast cancer. In 2007, more women are learning to live with breast cancer than ever before. Women should schedule an annual mammogram beginning at age 40 or earlier if they have risk factors associated with breast cancer. With screening, early detection, and a healthy lifestyle, breast cancer can be defeated. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers, such as the Yale Cancer Center, to make innovative new treatments which have not yet been approved by the Food and Drug Administration available to patients. This has been a Medical Minute. More information is available at yalecancercenter.org.
Welcome back to Yale Cancer Center Answers. This is Dr. Ken Miller, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Ed Chu, and Dr. Tommy Chang, who is discussing with us the research on Chinese herbal medicines. Well, I'd like to go back to this this issue of reducing side effects. How do you make sure at the same time that you're not reducing the benefit?
It's a good question. So we did animal study mm-hmm. to address that issues. So we've used giving animal irinotecan, and then in an animal tumor model, colon cancer model, it was clearly shown irinotecan do suppress the colon cancer growth. But in combination, also by giving orally this Chinese medicine, and we based on the schedule, which was used for many years by Chinese medicine doctor, it is turned out it's not only do not compromise the irinotecan action against the tumor, actually even enhance the action of irinotecan against the tumor cells. When we look the irinotecan toxicity to animal, based on weight loss and the mortality of the animal caused by irinotecan treatment, we find there's a decrease of the weight loss of the animal, as well as decrease of the mortality of the animal treated with the irinotecan. So based on this animal study, we feel very comfortable to do the clinic trial. And that's why Professor Chu and his colleague, together with the other institution, set up this phase 1/2 trial.
Yeah, I think you know, it's a very good question that you raise, Ken, and that's why this next study that we're going to do will really be, I think, directly addressing whether or not, right, the herb may in some way also reduce the activity. But our feeling is, the experience that we've seen thus far, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. We have another study that Dr. Saif and Dr. Lee here at Yale are doing, looking at a drug you very well know, capecitabine, mm-hmm. which is an oral 5-FU approved to treat breast cancer and colorectal cancer. And I think what's remarkable about that study is that Dr. Saif has been able to go to very, very high doses of the Xeloda with very little toxicity, and the patients seem to, so these are very heavily pretreated patients, they're able to actually go for a lot longer than I think many of us would have expected. So that kind of gives us a signal mm-hmm. that the herb isn't compromising the clinical activity, but really helping in terms of reducing toxicity, improving quality of life.
Well, and I guess the ability to give a full dose of chemotherapy or a higher dose may in fact be helpful to the patient.
Right. And that's our feeling. But again, I think, you know, we're going to have to do, you know, further tests to really address this issue.
Tommy and Ed, I'll ask both of you, are there, how do you do quality control? I mean, we talk about with pharmaceutical drugs how they're, you know, well tested and characterized. And how do you do this with Chinese herbal medicines?
Again, you raise a very critical issue. That's why the Chinese medicine hasn't been the mainstream medicine currently. So, you know, I think we did at Yale, together with a Yale-sponsored company, Phytoceutica, established a technology called Phytomics technology. This encompassed the three parts. One is the chemical fingerprinting, and that we consider every single chemicals we can detect, we consider as a biological active until it's proven inactive. Mm-hmm. This is very comprehensive, inclusive instead of exclusive approach. Then biological fingerprint, in addition to the conventional enzyme or receptor sensitivity testing, and we actually using cell as a sensor, DNA as a responder, RNA as a reader. So in other words, and to assess the changes of the RNA pattern of the cells among treatment with a herbal mixture. In essence, we are saying no matter how many active compounds in the mixtures, we'd like to see have a same pattern of a biological using 20,000 gene as a tester. Mm-hmm. I think this, again, is very inclusive in nature. And then if the pattern, then we set up a very unique, together with our biostatistic professors, our faculty, particular Professor Zhao, set up informatics technology to compare the patterns and digitalize the differences. And then, using this sophisticated technology, we actually now test 906. So 906, I'm glad to say, if it's prepared with a GMP, in the GMP facility, which we do, and three different batches can give you almost the same pattern. Even we prepare 5 years apart, that means the different batch, the different batch of the same herb are involving. But those batch are chosen by experienced Chinese medicine herbalists. And amazing to me, it's actually very consistent. And so in other words, Chinese medicine cannot be prepared in a consistent manner. I think it's case by case, cannot be individualized as people often thought.
And I think this whole issue of quality control really is critically important. I think it's what's kind of in many ways hindered the progress of Chinese herbal medicine, alternative medicine, because I think the experience has been there are a lot of contaminants and impurities. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, want to say that, you know, Tommy really has been the pioneer in really trying to develop really high-quality methodologies for quality control.
So, you know, in a sense, I'd like to really expand on this. We have Chinese medicine has been treating patients effectively for many years. You're working very much on quality control and testing these drugs. What's the potential? I mean, are the cures there? Are there other treatments out there that really may benefit us, all of us?
I think the Chinese medicine often being used for aging disease scenario, symptoms, and so on. So may have some of those may actually shed light in the process of slow down aging process or aging associated symptoms. So this is an area should be looked more. And sure, cancer I already mentioned, which initially we start with idea of preventing side effects. Now we are seeing even enhancement of mm-hmm. the anti-cancer drug actions. So we eventually, if we figure out the chemical components involving those process, perhaps in the future can make the formula much simpler, much easier to be controlled, or even using different herbs and which have a similar chemical components and to substitute. And the third is actually not this study is the impact is not only on just Chinese medicine, actually on all the traditional medicine around the world. And I think each culture and having based on their human experience must have something very unique. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we often forget the history. And I think it's a time for us to revisit history. And then as the basis, at least as one of the approach to develop the future medicine to come.
Tommy, along those lines, you chair this consortium for the globalization of Chinese herbal medicine. Maybe you can tell our listeners out there very, very quickly, very succinctly, what is that all about?
I think the mission of the is to advance the Chinese medicine or herbal medicine and to benefit the human health. So the consortium is to develop the platform technology which are required in advancing herbal medicine. There are four areas heavily emphasized. One is the quality control methodology. Second is the clinical trial. The third one is the database sharing. The fourth is herbal resource, because once it's become important medicine, this resource can be an issue, and the environmental impact and so on has to be considered upfront. So with that, we have a four... initiated with 16 institutions, with Yale as one of the funding members. And within less than 4 years, now we already have 78 institutions around the world. And plus 8 industrial affiliate members who are seriously interested in doing research in this area. So the organization is growing, and people share the same view is growing, I think.
What's really impressive, Ken, is in fact Tommy and I were in Beijing, China, 2 weeks ago for our sixth, I guess, international annual meeting that Tommy again chaired. And, you know, when we started off, it was all Chinese. Mm-hmm. And I would call myself kind of an Americanized Chinese. But, you know, at this meeting 2 weeks ago, it was really quite remarkable how many Canadians we had, how many folks from Australia, Great Britain, Germany. So it really has become globalized, internationalized. And I think, you know, I think people are understanding that we need to kind of bridge and really have a marriage between Western and Eastern style medicine if we're really going to be able to move medicine in general forward.
Along those lines, I mean, there have been other major advances from plants and trees, and maybe you could, Ed, can you share a couple examples?
Yeah, so for our listeners out there, just in the field of cancer drug development, probably it's fair to say maybe 30 to 40% of the cancer drugs that we're using in the clinic today, in fact, come from natural products, barks, plants. In fact, there's one drug that we've studied together, Dr. Chang and I, irinotecan, that originally comes from the bark and tree of a tree that's found in China. Mm-hmm. So there clearly is precedent and history showing that we can get a lot of very active compounds from these natural products.
I have to say, this discussion has been a big reminder to me of keeping an open mind, and as you talked about, really looking at history and culture, which is broader than we typically do. I'd like to thank Dr. Tommy Chang for joining us on Yale Cancer Center Answers. And for really what's been a wonderful discussion.
Tommy, thanks for joining us. We look forward to having you come back in a future show and tell us the results of the new clinical trials. Until next week, this is Dr. Ed Chu.
And Dr. Ken Miller.
From the Yale Cancer Center, wishing you a safe and healthy week.
If you have questions, comments, or would like to subscribe to our podcast, go to yalecancercenter.org, where you'll also find transcripts of past broadcasts in written form. Next week, we look at new developments in the study of melanoma.